Well, take your Bible and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 3 and chapter 4. For my young people here, I'm not re-preaching what we got at Missions Conference, all right? We had a Missions Conference this last week, and this is where he spent his time, but this is not anywhere near what he did. Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. I'm not reading all of those. There's just a portion of it that I want to share with you. It deals with the excuses of Moses when God's trying to call him out and get him to serve him. And remember, there will be some information I'll share with you that's similar with my young men. The fact is that Moses had been on the backside of the desert now for 40 years, felt like a failure, felt like he hadn't done anything. You remember that he was raised in Egypt. When you read in Hebrews, you find out all the extravagant things he was a part of. He was in Pharaoh's house. He was trained by the best educators. He had wealth at his disposal. And so Moses had, but then God began to call him out. And of course, he tried to do it in the arm of the flesh, ended up killing a man, and ended up having to run away to spare his life. And so he ran away, ended up in Midian. There he met his wife, he has his father-in-law, and now he's been taking care of sheep for 40 years. All right? And an honorable work, but you got to be thinking in the heart of Moses when God had called him to set the children of Israel free that he's kind of, he's got to be thinking about what a failure I am. But he gets to the place now in chapter 3 where you have the burning bush experience. The bush is on fire. A voice speaks to him out of the bush. The Bible says he turns aside to see this sight. What in the world? A bush that's burning and it's not consumed. And the Bible tells us here in verse 5 the Lord said to him, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground." Of course, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, he began to speak to him. So then he talks to him again about going to the children of Israel. "I've heard their cries," God says. I've seen their suffering, and I want you to go, and I want you to talk to Pharaoh. At that point, chapter 3 and chapter 4 are filled with about 5 different excuses for him not to go. I want to hone in on one particular thing that God responds to him regarding his excuses. Before I show you that, let me say this. I know that we probably feel as a church as helpless as we've ever felt before. You've seen all the things about the election. I'm sick and tired of hearing it. We're tired of the fact that we don't have a choice, so what can we do? Who do you choose? I was asked that again last night by a dear lady. Who are you going to vote for? Jesus, I'll vote for Jesus. He's not on the ballot. All right. So what do you do? You just feel absolutely helpless. And then we look at our society and what's happening with some of the foreign countries coming into our country, the danger that is posed by ISIS here and abroad. And what can you do? And so we feel like that we're absolutely helpless. Well, I want you to look at chapter 4. And in verse 2, the Lord said unto him, now he has made excuse again. He said, "They're not going to believe me. They're not going to hearken unto me. They're not going to be affected by what I tell them." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." There's a rod in his hand. Now, from a standpoint, Moses, remember now, is keeping sheep. He's on the backside of the desert. He's taking care of all these sheep. And we already understand that one of the tools that a shepherd needs is a staff. All right? Or a rod, if you will. And so that rod serves, if you've ever done a study on this, if you haven't, you ought to. It's an interesting study. To do that staff there was a protector. It also was used to separate sheep that were having trouble, that were not getting along well, that were not socializing well. They'd separate them with that. It was also used as a defensive weapon. It was also used as an emergency weapon that has the crook on it. And so therefore, if one of the animals were to fall into a ditch or into a hole, he can hook that and get them out. And so it was used in several ways. So when God says, "What is that in your hand?" I can kind of see Moses looking over and just kind of rod. Yeah. You're talking about saving a couple million people. You're talking about me going back and talking to Pharaoh. He's not a sheep. Now, you know, you wouldn't talk to the Lord like that, but I kind of think Moses might have been going through some of those scenarios in his head. He doesn't want to do this to begin with, okay? Now remember, he left ashamed. He left a murderer. He left a failure. So how can I go back and talk to Pharaoh? And a lot of us feel that way, feel like we've failed. You know, what can I do? And I think in our generations, what can we do? Our country's a mess. What can I do? Well, what's in your hand? You might say, well, a hymn book or the Bible. Absolutely. You got the Bible in your hand. Do you know what the Bible says about itself? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is powerful. But what if somebody tells me they don't believe in the Word of God? Okay, well, I may pull out a knife and they say, oh, I don't believe in a knife. Then it won't hurt a bit. Okay? Not so. It doesn't matter what somebody believes about this. God said the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I have this in my hand, and I have this, and you have that in your hand. The question is, are you using it? You said, well, I haven't slayed anybody lately. Well, I want to tell you, the biggest person to slay is yourself. Biggest person for me to slay is myself. I need to become disciplined in reading the Word of God. Remember what God told Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 8? Be in the Word of God. Meditate in it day and night. Then thou shalt have good success. Then your way will be prosperous. We try all kinds of gimmicks. We try all different kinds of methods. Nothing replaces feasting on the Word of God day by day, systematically learning the Word of God. Let it fill us, direct our paths, but I'm talking about using it on other people as well. Through my life, I have shared folks the gospel with folks, and I've had them tell me, well, I don't believe in the Word of God. So I usually go into another mode at that point. I quit quoting chapter and verse and just quote the verse. Okay? Because God says, I can get to the heart. I can get to the spirit. I can get to the soul. And so quote the Word of God. Hand out a tract that has the Word of God on it. You know, listen, that's in your hand, in my hand. Does it just gather dust? What are you doing with it? Are you sharing it with others? Are you sharing it in your own life? Are you eating from the Word of God? So God says to Moses, if you want to do something, take the rod. Now, from that standpoint, I kind of quit the story. But do you know that even in this chapter, it's the next chapter, I believe it, chapter 4 and verse 20, it is called the rod of God. The rod of God. It's called that several times over. The rod of God. Remember that God said, take that rod and stretch it out over the Nile River and it will become blood. Remember that He said, stretch forth your rod over the Red Sea and it will part. Remember that He said, take that rod and smote the rock and it will bring forth water. This is the rod of God. And Moses saying, rod? A dead stick is the most powerful thing in the world if that's what God wants you to use. And God wants us to use His Word. He's already stated it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What is in your hand? The Bible. Don't complain about what you can or what you cannot do in this world if you haven't started with this. Because God can use you and use me if we're full of this and we share this with others. The Word of God. What else is in your hand, Moses? Well, what's there? Well, it's a rod. Well, he only had one item. We've got several items that I'll share with you real quick. Secondly is your testimony. Your testimony. Wasn't that good to hear the testimony of these gentlemen as they told about their lives and about being saved and where God, Brother Bob shares his a little bit. I shared mine a little bit about I got saved at 11 years old, and people get saved at different stages in their life, and everybody has a story. Travis sings one. Matter of fact, it's on the CD, isn't it? If I told you my story, powerful song. If I told you my story, it would be all about him and what he did in my life. You need to purchase the CD, amen. I mean, donate for the CD, okay, a little infomercial there. But what a powerful song. If I told you my story, that's what winning people to the Lord is all about. Sometimes we have made it so educational. We want to quote the Romans Road, and I believe in using the Romans Road, but what impacts people's lives is knowing how the Romans Road affected your life. What did the Romans Road do for you? How did it change your life? How did it make your direction different? How did it give you hope? Your testimony. I want to remind you this morning that you have a twofold testimony. You have a testimony that is what I call an outspoken testimony. You have that which you share with individuals, and we all ought to have a testimony of sharing with others. There's an old song. I bet some of you have heard it before. You never mentioned him to me. Anybody heard that song before? Okay. Our generation's dying out. That song's not sung much anymore, you know, but I used to hear that all the time coming up. You never mentioned him to me. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, but you never mentioned him to me. We have a spoken testimony. Well, you just don't know how shy and timid I am. Doesn't matter how shy and timid you are. That's where the quick and the powerful Word of God comes in. He enables me to speak. Matter of fact, that was one of Moses' excuses. I can't talk. Who made your mouth? Who made your thoughts? God says, I can enable you to do that. You have a testimony that ought to be an outspoken testimony. When you have the opportunity, that's what Peter says. He said, you ought to be always able to give an account of the hope that is within you when you're asked. That's what Peter says. But Jesus also says in the book of Romans that if we are saved, we're not ashamed of Him. We ought to be able to give our testimony regarding who He is. You've got an outspoken testimony. You ought to have one. You also have an unspoken testimony. What people think of you because they see you. You see, we may not like that, but people draw conclusions about your life and my life of who they think we are and what they think we are. Listen, I have been erring in that many, many times. I was usually pretty quick to snap judgment on people of who they were and what they were, and found that I was totally off base a lot of times. We got to remember, as we say this, I don't care what people think. We got to care what people think. Because what they think about us is what they're going to think about Jesus. Jesus said, walk in my steps. Represent me. We ought to be representing Jesus. We ought to be just like Him. That's the road we're supposed to be walking on. That is, the Holy Spirit deals with my heart and deals with your heart. We're supposed to be made in His image. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're supposed to be becoming like Him. Your testimony is in your hand. We make a lot of excuses. I just feel helpless. I just don't feel like I can do anything. I don't know who to vote for. I don't know what I can do about our country. Listen, it starts one person at a time. And you have the Bible in your hand that's quick and powerful and sharpening two-edged sword. Use it. Use it. Don't set it aside. You have a testimony. Has God changed your life? Has He done anything great in your life? Does He sustain you day by day? Does He give you hope? Then that's your testimony. You ought to be able to give that. How come you're happy? They tell you on the job. How come you're so happy all day? Everybody else is just kind of, why are you happy? Listen, everybody's in a turmoil over the election. Why are you not in a turmoil? Well, because King Jesus is already elected. All right? He's in control of everything. I don't care who gets elected. I do care who gets elected. I'm going to do my part. But the fact is, it doesn't matter about the politics. You and I are in a different political arena. The king has already been settled. All right? The leader has already been settled. So me and you, after the election, whether it's Trump or whether it's Hillary, doesn't really matter. You and I shouldn't be changing what we're going to do. The church still be the church. I still need to be a Christian. I still need to share the gospel. If that means going to jail, then so be it. I still need to stand on the truth of God's word. It's in my hand. My testimony is real. It's in my hand to share my story with others. What's another thing? And these I go through quickly. Your family. You realize the family is the greatest blessing God ever gave? Now, we know it's under attack. It is. Our society is trying to absolutely destroy the family. I'm going to tell you why. Because God made the family. It's Satan's choice to do that. That's what he wants to destroy the family. Because as he destroys the family, he destroys the faith. He destroys the faith. There's nobody to pass down to. Children are divided. They don't know which way to go. They don't know who to trust. They don't know. The family is a great tool for the glory of God, for a husband to be who he's supposed to be, a wife to be who she's supposed to be, and the children to be who... It's all right here. It's all right here. If you'll listen closely, you'll find that there are families that are certainly hurting in this world, but they'll come in contact with families that by the grace of God are intact and having an impact for the kingdom of God. And husbands and wives are going to say, how do you do it? How do you do it? Oh, what an opportunity to tell our story of how Jesus made a difference in my life and in your life. So your family, and I don't have a lot of time to spend there. I just know that children are a gift of God, and they're the arrows in the quiver that Psalm 126 talks about. I've shared this story many times before. I had a little brother. He died when I was 19 years old. Tommy had cerebral palsy, and so he lived his life and passed away my first year at Bible college. And, so in that sense, I'm an only child. My dad passed away 4 years ago, but I had a good family. I had a good background, and I just had a good opportunity to grow in grace because of what I was associated with. But my dad was a very faithful man. He was faithful to the Word of God. So what I preached to you is what he passed on to me. He was faithful to the Word of God. I saw it. I don't have time to share you all the details about that. I'd love to be able to share about my dad. My dad's faith was great. He was a very quiet man. He was a welder, a master welder, but he was always faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught Sunday school. He became a deacon at one point, became chairman of the deacon board at one point, just a great man, and what an impact he had on my life. He would go on visitation. He would do whatever he could. I moved them down to Goldsboro, where my wife and I live. It's been, 17 years ago, 18 years ago now. And so they went to church with us. He still went on visitation. Got to a place where Dad could not do that anymore. Couldn't teach Sunday school anymore. He couldn't visit anymore. And I was talking to him one day, and tears kind of slipped his eyes. And you saw it. He said, "Son, I just can't do what I used to. I just can't do it anymore." I said, "Well, Dad, I can. I'm one of the arrows in your quiver. Okay, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are the arrows of the youth." And I said, "You can't do it anymore, but I can. This is where I take up. This is where I take off." You see, that's God's plan. Pass the baton on to the next generation. You have the family in your hand. What are you doing with it? That ought to be your greatest investment. Then, fourthly, the church. You know, the church. They're saying the church is dead, the church is gone. Well, I want to tell you, as long as God's people are good, the church is good. All right? Because God's people are the church. It's not this building. It's you that sit in this building. You have the church. What are you doing with it? Are you regular? Are you faithful? Do you invest in your church? That's all part of it too. Moses said, you know, the Lord says to Moses here, he says, "And what is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." He never recognized the potential of the rod in his hand until God touched it. Okay? Well, let me tell you. The Bible's the touch of God. My testimony, my story is the touch of God. My family is our story, the touch of God. The church moving forward on its knees with power and the glory of the Lord Jesus on it. That's the story of the church. And you ought to be investing in your local church. That's how you can do the best for this old world, is being here, being faithful, investing with your tithes and your offerings, teaching, leading, whatever you can do, you ought to do it. Well, I'm just old enough that I just can't do that much anymore. There is something you can do. You can be faithful. You can be faithful. What a joy it is to see faithful people. What a joy it is to your pastor and your pastor's wife to see the same people here all the time, knowing that there is what we call a backbone, a pillar that's going to be here no matter what happens, that their faith in the Lord Jesus is strong enough, they're going to be here. So what is in your hand? The family, the church. And I always like to close with this, the invitation. The invitation's always in your hand. You may think it's in the hand of somebody else, that somebody else ought to do something, but I want to tell you, every invitation that's given after every message is an invitation for you personally, for me personally. There's a challenge, and I'm challenging you this morning. You want to do something? Yeah, well, I don't know who to vote for. Well, forget about vote. I mean, go ahead and do your duty and vote. I think you ought to do your duty and vote. Who you vote for is immaterial. But I'm telling you, this is what's in your hand. This makes a difference in the world. It makes a difference in an individual. Your testimony has an impact on other people. Your spoken and unspoken testimony, as people watch you and draw conclusions about who you are and what you are. Some of those may be wrong, but I'm telling you, if you're faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's having an impact on somebody. One illustration with that, I was pastoring years ago in the western part of North Carolina, and one Sunday I decided to have a special Sunday. And good night, just drew a blank on it anyway. Appreciation Sunday, there it is. I had an Appreciation Sunday. And it was in a summertime in a series of them. And so what I did was I got a roll of stickers, smiley face stickers, all right? And I gave a sticker to everybody in the congregation. We went through our preliminaries. We had our singing, and I told them. Then I said, okay, now it's time. You want to know what Appreciation Sunday is? I want you to take your sticker and take it to somebody in this church that means the world to you. Somebody in this church has had an impact on your life. You take that sticker to it, put them on their lapel or put it on their Bible and tell them, I love you. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what happened was there were a whole lot of tears. There was a whole lot of hugging. There was a lot of people that never, here's what a lot of people said. I never knew that you noticed me. That was the testimony of a lot of people. Somebody is watching you. Your testimony is going to have an impact on somebody's life. I challenge you today to forget the worldwide scene, because just like revival, if we want something to happen in this church, draw a circle of 19 inches, step in it, and say, God, start there. Because it's all in your hand. Let's stand and bow our heads just for a few moments. Our young men will come with an invitation song. Why don't you, this morning, take up what you have in your hand? Say, well, preacher, I don't know that I ever recognized it that way before. I don't know that I recognized it before. Yeah, you've got the Bible in your hand. You got to you know, you need to resurrender those to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I haven't used the Bible the way I should. My testimony, my family, the church, the invitation. Has God spoken to your heart this morning? Do you want to do something for America? If you want to do something for America, start in your local church with the Word of God, your testimony, your family, the church, this invitation. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach one more time. I believe you've spoken to folks' hearts. We thank you for the good music. We thank you for the testimony of our young men. Love them, appreciate them, and know you're going to use them. But you sent us here to minister, Lord. That's why we're here. Not so much to promote the college as we are promoting you today, because you're the one that makes the difference. And I pray that that heart you're speaking to today, there may be somebody here today that says, preacher, I don't even know Jesus as my Savior. I need to be saved. I hope they'll just just step right on out, come and trust you as personal Savior. But there may be some Christians here today that understand they have something in their hand, like Moses did, that can be used for your honor and your glory and have an impact on this world, regardless of what age they may be. Speak to our hearts this morning. Draw us to yourself. And we'll thank you for it with heads bowed and eyes closed.